That song was such a beautiful prayer to prepare us to hear Psalm 139. So even though summer is really nearly over, I'd like to look at one more favorite psalm. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 139. It's on page 974. And you may keep them open through the message today. Maybe some of you have memorized parts of this deeply meaningful psalm. Today we will focus mostly on verses 1 through 4 and 13 through 18, though we'll look at the whole thing. And we are going to listen to those parts of it as it is shared in this video. Let's watch it together.
You have searched me, Lord, and you know me.
You know when I sit.
And when I rise.
You see my thoughts.
You discern my going out and my lying down.
You are familiar with all my ways.
Before word is on my tongue.
You created my being.
You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Your works are wonderful.
My frame was not hidden from you.
I made a secret place.
When I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Your
eyes are my unseen body.
My eyes are made ordained for me.
All the days are ordained for me.
Were written in your book.
Before the manifold could to be.
How vast are the sum of them.
Were I to count them.
I'll murmur a grains of sand.
I am fearfully.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I awake, I am still with you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last weekend, Ed and I were up north for a couple of days. We went to the old Northern Michigan Asylum, which was later named the Traverse City State Hospital, and now it's called the Village at Grand Traverse Commons. We walked through some buildings and the grounds and learned that it was founded on principles for a more humane treatment of mental illness. Dr. Munson's philosophy was that beauty is therapy. If the patients were surrounded by a beautiful environment, from the architecture to the campus grounds and paintings on the walls, their emotional and mental state would be uplifted. And this beauty, along with some work to do that made each person feel valued, helped to bring healing to many kinds of illness. I was impressed, finding that approach a wonderful way to treat people made in the image of God, a way of seeing each individual through the eyes of God, seeing a person who is fearfully and wonderfully made. Which brings us to Psalm 139, a beautiful poem that includes praise and trust and petition. Biblical scholar Derek Kidner describes it this way: Any small thoughts that we may have of God are magnificently transcended by this poem. Yet for all its height and depth, it remains intensely personal. Magnificent and personal. The four stanzas of poetry in Psalm 139 describe how thoroughly God knows us. God sees us wherever we may go. God formed us and made plans for our lives. And even in our zeal for God's justice, we submit ourselves to God's scrutiny. So in these opening verses, we learn how the Lord searches us. The Hebrew suggests winnowing as God sifts through the details of our lives. And throughout the psalm, there's also this Hebrew figure of speech called a merism, which means that it uses opposites to indicate the whole of everything in between, too. Like when the Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. That's in Psalm 113. It means for praise to occur all the time and in every place, not just here and there. In Psalm 139, these merisms show that the Lord sees our sitting and rising, our going out and coming in. In other words, everything we do. He goes behind us and in front of us and always has us in his care. The Lord even knows our thoughts and knows what we are about to say. The psalmist says, "This is too wonderful for me." It's amazing how the Lord knows us inside and out. And we may wonder, does this watchfulness of God feel comforting or perhaps a little ominous? The second stanza includes some familiar lines. We didn't hear them, so I'll just read a few of them. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. And it continues with more of those merisms, the opposites that include everything and everywhere. And then the third stanza moves from the dimension of space to time. God is there at the origins of all things, and God knows what will happen next. Psalm 139 is not a science textbook about how things were created. And theologian John Golingay reminds us that this psalm is a piece of poetry, not part of a law code, so it's not a knockdown proof text to demonstrate that abortion is wrong, he says. Yet the way it describes how God knits us together evokes awe about the beginning of life. And maybe we feel both a deep comfort and a bit of discomfort as we wonder about the mystery of God's ways. For we indeed are wonderfully made. God wove each one of us together in a manner that is marvelous and intricate and extraordinary, every single one of us. God formed and crafted us with unique strengths and weaknesses, talents and tastes and teachability. God knows us. God makes plans for us and cares for us in whatever joys and challenges we will face in our lives. And we trust that God's watchfulness is motivated by God's deep love for us. And as we revel in the care of our Lord, we treasure this precious gift, and we respond with praise and trust. I will praise you. And in this stanza about how God is active in the origins of life, verse 18 ends with an interesting hint. When I awake, it says. And this may be pointing to what comes after this life, when we awake to be with the Lord in the final resurrection. The last stanza is a cry for justice against those who rebel against the Lord. And Psalm 139 concludes with these words: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I wonder, can we honestly pray these words? Search me, O God? Are we comforted or discomforted by this psalm? Maybe it depends a little on how your life is going. Though we know we are not perfect, we may trust that God sees the desires of our hearts, sees how we want more intimacy with God, how we want to know the love and mercy and grace that come through Jesus Christ, who will lead us in the way everlasting. So there is comfort in these words. And now I'm making a bit of a turn back to why I chose that video for our scripture reading today. I believe that each person in that video is also wonderfully made. And I would like to understand that better. I'd like to learn how to create a better sense of belonging for people with a variety of differences in my own life and here at Neyland. I'd like to do better at seeing each person the way God sees them, and encourage all of us to see each other through the eyes of God. Now, maybe that sounds a little unsettling. We don't really want anyone to see us as fully as God can see us, do we? But let's think about it. If we can take comfort in knowing that God made us exceptional and distinctive, might it also be comforting to feel seen that way by other people too? So, look around. Really, look around. Look at the diversity of ages and genders and shapes and skin tones and facial expressions. Look again at the faces. Look at each other. Do you see worry lines, smiles, curiosity, kindness? And can you see the hearts? Can you see which hearts are aching because they miss someone? Which hearts are joyful because they just got good news? Which hearts are anxious about something they have to do this week? And the minds? Can you see who's counting the tiles on the ceiling? Or making mental notes for an upcoming meeting? Or trying to process what's happening right now? All those faces and hearts and minds around you, each one is wonderfully made. And there is so much going on in each one that we are not aware of. And sometimes we really don't know how to engage well with each other. And so we're starting this new initiative at Neyland. Actually, we're brushing up some practices we may have had before, and we're learning some new approaches for being together, ways of belonging to the people who belong to Jesus Christ. Back in July, Sarah Webb introduced the idea of this new belonging team. And later that month, we had an initial meeting of people who are interested in serving on this team. And I realized how much I still have to learn. Last spring, I attended an event hosted by Disability Concerns. And we talked about appropriate language to use. Now, maybe you've heard words like retardation, handicap, special needs. I learned that the current preference is to talk about people with disabilities. So we put people first with disabilities. I'm also learning that a higher percentage of people than you might expect have some kind of disability. Some are visible, but many are not. And it's okay to be curious about how people are different from each other, especially if it helps us to change our attitudes from ignorance or pity to understanding and relationship building. And we'll make mistakes along the way, but let's try to do this together. Recently, the media has had a couple of great illustrations of things that we can all be learning. First is Gus Walz. This came out of the Democratic Convention. As I watched, I saw Gus, the son of Tim Walz, cheering in the crowd. And I wondered about his unusual exuberance. So I confess, I Googled him to find out if there was anything different about him. And it turns out lots of people noticed Gus. And some people, even newscasters, started mocking him. One blogger wrote about all these different kinds of reactions and about how some people tried to backtrack on their mocking responses when they found out that he was disabled. Jess Wilson wrote, "It's not about having to know that there's a label for a fellow human's unique constellation of strengths and challenges in order to approach them with compassion." She says, it's not about needing an explanation for why someone comes across a little or a lot differently from the average in order to indulge their quirks, celebrate their differences, support their challenges, and accommodate their access needs, to give them extra time and love and leeway. She continues, labels, diagnoses, and identities are important and valid and helpful in a million different ways, but they shouldn't ever be the ticket that we demand from others before granting them entry into the arena of our empathy. The only fair needed is humility, she says. Yeah, so we probably should just recognize each person's humanity, a person made in the image of God. Recognize that first. And I also learned that Tim Walz and his wife, told People magazine that their son is a brilliant teenager whose secret power lies in his neurodivergence, as the teen lives with ADHD, an anxiety order, and a nonverbal learning disorder. Sounds like his dad thinks Gus is pretty wonderfully made. The other example is Hunter Woodhull. He is an athlete who also helps us to gain an understanding of disability. Maybe you've seen that photo in the top left. She is Tara Davis Woodhull, who won an Olympic gold medal in Paris in the long jump, and then she jumped into her husband's arms. That was a month ago. This week, Hunter had his own chance at gold at the Paralympic Games. Ahead of the games, he wrote this: "I will not be participating at the Paralympics, I will be competing." Put a new definition on disability. Paralympians have often been described by the media as participants and not competitors. At Paris 2024, it's time we set the record straight. And then he did. In his 400-meter race on Thursday, Hunter Woodhull won gold. An amazing athlete in his own right, later he joined the Universal 4x100 relay team and won bronze the very same day. So there are some good strides being made in the world toward our understanding of inclusion and disability. And we're working on that here at Neyland too. We took an excerpt of Sarah's introduction to the Belonging Team and put it on the back of the worship bulletin right here so that you can see it and refer to it again later. It's on the screen too, and I'd like to read it again for all of us to hear. Belonging at Neyland. At Neelan Church, we seek to be a community of hope where all will experience and extend the deep welcome of Christ. All at Neelan means all, including members and visitors with disabilities. As we think about what is needed to fully belong in all spaces at Neelan, this is an everyone ministry. This is not a ministry to or for people with disabilities. This is a ministry to create belonging with and by people with disabilities, seeing God-given gifts in each other, gifts given to everyone, with no exceptions, asterisks, or expiration dates. As a belonging team, alongside the Faith Formation Committee, we will work to bring awareness, education, and resources to grow each of our lenses to see and understand disability so that each person can fully participate and serve here at Neelan. Friends, we are inviting everyone to join in learning and participating and serving together. And we're going to begin tonight by training the ministries leaders who work with youth at Neelan. And the journey will continue throughout the coming year as we all learn together to see each other as God created us. Psalm 139 comforts us with the knowledge that we are created by God, that nothing in our lives can be hidden from God, and we can never go where God cannot find us. This idea is affirmed in Romans 14, verse 8, which says, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And Romans 8, which reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And the Heidelberg Catechism, which wraps up these ideas in its very first question, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer, I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Children of God, we are wonderfully made. Because of Christ's reconciling love and grace, we belong to the people who belong to Christ. Let's pray together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Guide me as I seek to follow you, and as we seek to love and see and serve each other as you have done. O Lord, bless us by your grace and mercy, and lead us in the way everlasting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.